The subject of this lecture is Anglo-American imperialism, lessons from India. We have recently been studying the history of India, and it is apparent that their lessons about today's Anglo-American imperialism that need to be remembered so that we understand what the world is dealing with. First place, probably at least 10 million people in India were murdered by the British. They were murdered in a very British manner, which was manipulating the economy for greed of the British money lords in London. It's very carefully documented in books like Late Victorian Holocausts, but the British weren't content to murder the people of India for their own greed. They were also willing to murder the people of India for their own military imperialist goals. And this was clearly the case in the Bengal famine in 1943, where the British murdered millions of the Indian people by diverting food from them to the British imperial war effort. Now, those are the facts. That's what happened. Furthermore, in 1700, before the British began to take over India, India was one of the largest economies of the world. Once India became a colony of England, it was basically looted financially, and the total loss, according to many Indian economists, is in trillions and trillions of dollars. No one will probably know the full figure. Unfortunately, there's a myth perpetuated of the benevolent British rule in India and the benevolent role of Anglo-American imperialism in Indian life. Now, the facts that we've described should put that whole idea to rest right away, but let's go over some other issues. One of the most disgusting and criminal things was the manner in which the British left India. Now, we also need to get our facts straight about that. One of the main reasons why the British left India was that the people of India so hated England that the majority of them almost certainly supported Japan and Germany during World War II. Now, after World War II, the British tried to put on trial Indian citizens who had served in the army of Subhash Bose, who had sided with the Japanese. And by the way, Subhash Bose was a very major figure in Indian politics. He was a major figure in the Congress Party. This is not some fringe individual. Anyway, the end result of that was riots all over India, which scared the living daylights out of the British. England was basically bankrupt after World War II. It was falling apart at the seams, etc. So at that point in time, the British made the decision that they needed to skedaddle out of India as fast as possible. Now, in conjunction with that, they sent in a fellow by the name of Lord, he was a great Lord, Mountbatten, who we now know, just by the way, was a rampant serial sexual child molester. His wife was also some sort of sexual crackpot involved in all sorts of sexual lunacy, including having a sexual affair with Nehru, the golden boy of the British establishment to head up India. The whole process, frankly, was just a complete mess. Mountbatten really didn't know what the hell he was doing, nor did Lord Radcliffe, who helped set the boundaries. And Lord Radcliffe had so much confidence in his work that he burned all his records, true story, before he left India, so no one would be able to figure out why he did what he did. But what happened was that Pakistan, because of the bias towards Nehru, was cheated out of key territories by the British. Now, in fairness, Mountbatten was so incompetent, and the whole process was such an incompetent mess that there was, as in many cases in Anglo-American imperialism, there's a gray line between where incompetence and malevolence connected. But relating to Kashmir, a Muslim majority province, there's absolutely no question that this was put in Indian control by the intrigues of Nehru and Mountbatten. Now, Nehru is a particularly disgusting individual. He went, you see, to Cambridge. He was a product of the British upper-class education, and he was the perfect golden boy for the British establishment and could be the perfect face of an independent India. Anyway, the end result of Mountbatten's intrigues and incompetence was a just horrendous bloodbath and a death toll leading into the slaughter of millions and millions and millions of Indian people and the forced migration of goodness knows how many millions more, and laying the groundwork for the Kashmir crisis, which going right up to today is a tremendous disaster. Now, Mountbatten, being the typical upper-class British fraud, claimed that he was a soldier and that no one would be injured. That statement was, of course, a fraud, like so many aspects of British imperialism, a fraud from day one. He had nowhere near the number of troops to protect the citizens. In fact, it was precisely because Britain was so weakened that they were... One of the reasons the Independence Day was so rushed was the British were so unpopular they were fearing the whole country might rise up against them and lynch them. So again, this was not some great act of charity by British imperialism. However, you see, this is all repackaged about how the benevolent British claimed that they'd created the world's largest democracy. And look, there was this wonderful westernized character, Nehru, as the public face of this. So you'd never hear the end of it during the 50s, 60s, and on, that the world's largest democracy had been benevolently created by England and America. Now, in today's world, we see the racist nightmare of Mr. Modi and the racist fascist nightmare of his whole policy, his nuclear policy, and so on. So it clearly hasn't worked out. Now, the bad news doesn't stop there. The really bad effects of Western imperialism on India may be ahead of us, not behind us, because of the destructive forms of development the advance English and the Americans imposed on India. Gandhi was portrayed as a fool because he favored local Indian handicrafts, and we're not going to debate whether he was realistic or not realistic. What is beyond debate, what is not a matter of debate, is the wholesale destruction of the environment promoted by England and America is emerging as a total catastrophe for India. Today, the Ganges is a cesspool. It really is. It's revolting. The rivers of India are filled with poison, and the whole structure of development has created a complete toxic, filthy wasteland all over India. Now, one of the most nasty and one of the most horrendous aspects of Western development came in the 1960s from the Anglo-American establishment, particularly the American liberal establishment, the Ford Foundation. Yes, the same people who supported the Vietnam War and spraying Agent Orange on Vietnamese civilians. That was McGeorge Bundy, by the way. An American upper-class patrician from the boarding school system and so on. So McGeorge Bundy and people like that favored what was the Green Revolution. Now, there was a food crisis growing in India as population expanded. But fortunately, we were told, the great white liberal fathers from the West rushed to the rescue with, ta-da, the Green Revolution. Wasn't that a wonderful thing? Now, what exactly was this Green Revolution? The Green Revolution consisted of pumping water out of underground aquifers, a one-way trip, by the way, building huge dams, another environmental disaster, which we discuss on our website. But much more important, introducing a system of death in agriculture. The Green Revolution involved dosing the soil with huge amounts of phosphates and then using pesticides and herbicides to kill virtually everything that didn't relate to what big business wanted. It's the greatest system of death ever unleashed on nature at one point in time. Now, it did increase yields. That's true. It did. And we as an organization are not automatically opposed to all GMOs or whatever. However, the structure of the Green Revolution as it was introduced has been an environmental disaster of absolutely horrendous dimensions. And it's very important to understand how toxic this is. The most pesticides come from the same family as the nerve gas, Zyklon B, used by the Nazis in Auschwitz and their camps. Indeed, Zyklon B was a pesticide. That's what it was originally designed for. So that'll give you an idea of how toxic this whole thing was. Now, had the Western powers had any brains, had they had any competence, they would have listened to their own national security advisors back in 1953, who urged them to launch a crash scientific program to develop solar power. But here's the problem with solar power. See, as Ralph Nader pointed out, the sun has this nasty habit of going directly to your home, bypassing your local utility company, where you can see the problem right there. Also, if solar power had been developed, how would that have helped the coal companies and the oil companies? Well, you can see a problem right there. So it was not developed. And in the 1950s, you had a Republican pro-oil administration. But most important, in the Senate majority leader was a good old Texas oil boy by the name of Lyndon Johnson from Texas. He was Senate majority leader. And in the House, you had a good old Texas oil boy called Sam Rayburn, who was India and other places would be clear today. But this was deliberately not chosen. It's not some mysterious fund and so forth. Well, these are delusions. And what is going to happen in India is likely to be a horrendous, what we already have is a horrendous environmental disaster, but we're facing a really horrendous agricultural disaster in places like the breadbasket and the Punjab, because pumping out the aquifers is a one-way trip, okay? Yeah, it is. And it's even worse than it sounds because of the corruption of the Indian government, that they deliberately haven't checked out what's going on in the aquifers. So that's one problem. Now, a second problem is the emergence of a Hindu religious extremist movement from the RSS through the BJP. These people are a real barrel of laughs, because you have just unbelievable series of religious delusions and extreme delusions that this is some giant turning point in history. The atomic bomb is the sword of Shiva to smite anybody who gets in the way of these people, and so on and so forth. So that led to, as the BJP launched a major nuclear program, that led to Pakistan developing an atomic bomb. So now we have a nuclear arms race on the subcontinent of India. On top of that, going back to the horrible legacy of Anglo-American imperialism, Mr. Modi, to promote racism and chauvinism, has drastically revised the civil rights of the Muslim majority in Kashmir. This all is not going to end well. Now, the theory, as usual, is don't worry, the foreign policy experts will handle this. In both Pakistan and in India, you have growing religious extremist forces that are not likely to be terribly rational. So the outcome of this is very problematical. But the bigger point that we need to understand from this whole horrible situation is don't trust Anglo-American imperialism, and in particular, don't trust liberal imperialism, the kind represented in our time by people such as Barack Obama, Susan Rice, and Samantha Power. You don't want to trust those people. These people are sociopaths. They are extremely malevolent people, as can be documented by their actions, which is the subject of other lectures. But that's the lesson. That's the legacy of these people. And we need to learn from that. And people around the world, particularly in third world countries, need to look at this form of imperialism for the malevolent force that it is and go forward and try to create their own destiny, not the destiny chosen for them by Wall Street or tycoons in Silicon Valley or deranged geopolitical lunatics in the Washington, D.C. imperialist foreign policy establishment. There's going to have to be a rearrangement of world power where the grip of Anglo-American imperialism is reduced. And today it's really American imperialism. England is going completely to hell, particularly with Brexit and the election of another upper-class dolt in the form of Boris Johnson as prime minister and a swine by the name of Cameron who helped set in motion this Brexit madness. So it's really American imperialism, but American imperialism is inspired by British imperialism and has a lot of the same malevolent aspects. So this is a lesson people need to around the world need to go back to their own heritages and come up with a different environmental model, a different economic model to save themselves from disaster. That's the end of this lecture.